I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Welcome in, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It's Wednesday. January is 15 days old in 2020. How was your Tuesday night?
Pretty solid, my friend. Not a great night of sport, although I just happened to tune into the worldwide leader just in time to see Clemson Tigers take down the Duke Blue Devils. And I got to tell you, that always makes me happy. There's no team that I care about or root for that really has a rivalry with Duke anymore. Just a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun to see Duke lose. And it's a lot of fun to watch young kids celebrate when Duke loses. I really, really enjoy that. I enjoy it every time. I don't know when it's going to get old for me. Hadn't happened yet. I'm 40.
I get hating, even though it's a former rival, mm-hmm. enough that you still feel good when they lose. When I see in a box score that the Penguins lost, mm-hmm. or certainly during the baseball season, if the Nats are competing with, say, the Phillies or the Mets, and I'm scoreboard watching, that's always a joyous thing. So I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I don't have the same anguish and disdain you do for Duke, but I haven't been a big Maryland basketball fan in years and years and years. The most relevant they are to me now, other than in March, is like last night when they lose a big game or a bad game and like 14 people are tweeting about it at once and it's kind of ruining my timeline.
Uh-huh. Sure.
That's about as close as it gets for me.
That's how close it touches you. But because I'm with you on, you know, I check NHL.com just to make sure the Penguins came in second that night. That's always fun. But that's
last night, by the way, Crosby came back after missing weeks and had 4 points and they won 7-3. Yeah, so you weren't very happy last night.
No, I'm not pleased last night. They're knocking on the door, by the way. Just as great a Capitals run as it was to start the season, just a few points behind.
They're scary.
They're lurking. They're terrible. True evil never dies.
Yesterday was my first true indication that we're reaching a little bit more of that dry time of year.
Oh, yeah.
In sports.
Sure.
You still have the Capitals. So I'm in Bethesda doing the pre and post TV stuff like 3-4 times a week. But mm-hmm. on the nights where I'm home and I want to watch sport, if the Wizards aren't playing, it gets really dark really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a whole lot. Unless you're a college basketball mark, this is the time of the year where there's just college basketball on like 7 channels. And if it's a great game, and you talk about Duke and Clemson who had just beaten UNC, or if Maryland's playing and I stumble into it, I'll watch it. But Texas A&M is playing LSU on like 2 different ESPN channels for some reason. They're doing the mega cast where like one of them is the game and the other's an extra camera angle just in case I want it. I just don't care about that. So last night was me catching up on Pilot Pete, The Bachelor, watching 5 hours worth of 2 nights so far of The Bachelor. Crowbarred into probably about 3 hours because I skipped through all the commercials. It's the only way to watch a show like that. ABC does so many commercial breaks in their TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
And they're so long. So I pulled it up on the ABC Go app, whatever it is, on mm-hmm. the computer. And at the bottom, if you follow me for a second, like it's got that line where you can skip around.
Yeah. Are there little markers?
Yeah, there's markers right. for the mm-hmm. breaks. There's like 17 of those markers over the course of the show.
I can't prove this, Grant. I can't prove this. And I wish somebody really smart would do a study, but then if they're doing this, I'd rather them do something else if they're really smart. Did that make any sense?
It does.
I have always felt one of the reasons I stopped watching MTV before it went to hell and it just became nothing but like, you know, Road Rules 99 versus Real World 2004, Battle in Mud, whatever the hell the stupid network has become. I think it's just so trash. I always felt that MTV had longer commercial breaks than everybody else. I could never prove it. I could never, like, time it right, or I'd always forget. I'd ADD out and kind of, like, not get my stopwatch and whatever. I always felt like their commercial breaks were longer. That was why I stopped watching MTV even before it turned into the worst network in the world.
Someone should study that.
Someone should study
it. See if you were right. Big three right now, Madison, Hannah Ann, and McKenna, spelled Mykenna.
Mykenna?
Yeah, she spells it really weird. Like so capital Y or something.
Pronounced McKenna, but it's Mykenna?
I pronounce it McKenna. I don't know how she pronounces it.
Okay.
But I got Madison, Hannah Ann, and McKenna so far. I'll update you.
I can't believe there's a girl named Madison. That's
the
only comment
season
now.
Goes along. I almost named Reagan Madison.
I know.
We audibled at the last second. She looked more like a Reagan.
Only presidential names.
That's all we do. Presidents of the United States of America. He's Danny. I'm Grant. Thanks for listening. Welcome in. Just getting started. Lot to get to today. Bottom of the hour at 10:30. Luke Kuechly stunning the NFL by announcing his retirement. First class all the way through his career on into last evening as he put out a video to explain his decision. Alex Cora has been dismissed by the Boston Red Sox. The fallout from the electronic sign-stealing saga continues. Two managers having been dismissed. A GM is out, but no players are going to get in trouble. Should there be players involved in some of these punishments? We'll get to that at 11:18 today. But we got to start with the Nats missing out on Josh Donaldson. News came down last night. Donaldson has agreed to a contract with the Minnesota Twins for 4 years and $92 million in guarantees. Now, specifics, according to reports on the Donaldson deal, he's going to get $84 million over the first 4 years. He'll have a $16 million club option for a fifth year. No reason to believe as of right now at his age that that gets picked up. So there's an $8 million buyout. So you add 84 with 8 in case they buy him out, and he will get at least $92 million. It could be upwards of $100 million. Where did the Nats come in compared to that? Well, according to a Washington Post report, they offered 4 years and $100 million. Again, Donaldson signed 4 and 92. The difference? You're going to hear this word a lot with the learners. Deferments.
I'm shocked.
Apparently, they wanted deferments in 4 and 100. Donaldson didn't want to play that game. I've said this a few times. You can put this on my headstone as far as the Nationals go. If you are okay with deferments, you'll sign with the Nationals. If you are not, we're all wasting our breath talking about it. And it turned out in the end, yeah, Josh Donaldson did not want to do that. So I'm conflicted here, Danny. I am frustrated and angry that they didn't sign him to replace Anthony Rendon, and they still have a big hole in their offense, number one. But I'm also very happy and very pleased that he didn't sign with the Braves, which was my fear. I thought it was either Atlanta or Washington. I put Minnesota as the distant third team in the backseat.
Yeah, the Boris mystery team, I thought, may have been Minnesota. Maybe somebody else, maybe.
And Minnesota, I wouldn't even call a mystery team because they've been making the offers along with the Nationals every step of the way. For whatever reason, I just didn't take them seriously, and I should have. I was wrong. Mm. But my point is that part of me wanting to sign Donaldson so much was to keep him away from Atlanta because I thought he was a pendulum swinger. The team in the NL East that got him wins the division. By him leaving and going to the American League, it really cushions this blow, and I don't mind not getting him nearly as much.
It doesn't hurt as bad. The part that I'm frustrated by is when I saw the money, because it's really you're paying him $84 million to play for you, and then you pay him $8 million to not have him on your roster. That's what this is. So 4-92, you couldn't get over that threshold? You and I didn't want to do like 5-110 or 4-110 even, or some of the numbers that were getting bandied about to win the bidding war. Everybody kind of stuck to their guns, and Donaldson got tired of waiting. It's frustrating because I get that you got to find a way to get creative for a $300 million deal to put some deferred money in there. That if you want to sign Anthony Rendon, you got to make sure your books make sense with the Masson deal and whatever. You're talking 7 years, $250 million. A four-year deal? You need a right-handed bat? The marriage would have been perfect? You couldn't tweak it? If this is all it took, it's frustrating to me.
So if I'm Mike Rizzo and I get to call this shot, and I don't really think that's how it works with these types of deals. Mm. I don't know how much.
When
with
you
other,
get past a certain threshold.
Yeah, with other organizations, I don't know if it's just the team president or how involved the ownership is. But I think Mike Rizzo's basically can do what he wants to do as a plan, and then he goes for approval and most of the time probably doesn't get it. But if I'm him and 4-95 without the deferments would have done it. And we don't know if Donaldson liked Minnesota or likes the idea of DHing in the American League a little bit. So maybe you would have had to go 4-100. I don't know. But if 4-95 without the deferments would have done it, if I'm the Nationals, I would have gone there. I wouldn't have loved it, though. I wouldn't have. Mm. This guy's 34 years old.
True.
And while he had an amazing season last year with 37 homers, 94 RBI, and a 900 OPS, I like him because he draws walks and he gets on base. 380 clip last year, about 370 for his career. He is 34, and it's only two seasons ago, in 2018, that he was hurt all the time. He had 8 homers. He played in 52 games.
Totally injury-plagued.
Now, the reason I would have paid him and done it ultimately is because I think you've got a 2-year window here where you can win another World Series. And I am going to keep underscoring how big a deal it is losing Rendon and not replacing that bat with anybody of any marquee value to Juan Soto.
Because here's what you're counting on. A huge leap from Victor Robles. Possible? Sure. Oh, man, that's a big gamble. You're counting on a huge leap from Carter Kieboom at some point.
Right?
Right?
How do you look at Juan Soto after the last 2 years as good as he's been and say, now we're going to make your job harder than it's ever been before?
Right.
You don't have Anthony Rendon protecting you. Now, if he had Donaldson, Soto. I mean, he just gets to keep being Juan Soto. Now, instead of seeing pitches to hit all the time, he might see a pitch to hit a game. You better hit that pitch.
Good luck.
So you lose Rendon, you take a big step back offensively. And with Soto no longer having the protection needs in the lineup, I think you take another step back offensively. So you're right. Now it's up to Robles. It's up to Carter Kieboom to kind of make these violent leaps forward. Are you expecting Howie Kendrick to have the same year he did last year? That's not happening. So I worry about this offense right now after not getting Donaldson. I understand why they didn't want to give him 4-95 outright. But I am frustrated that they didn't, because I think that there is 2 years here with this Scherzer group to still make one more run at this thing. I don't care about 3 or 4 years from now. Overpay him then.
Right.
Let's try to do what we did last year. How fun was that?
Yeah, you want Max Scherzer for these multiple Cy Young or Cy Young podium years. You're going to pay for something on the back end that isn't the same. That's part of it. Your window is right now. I'm 100% with you. It doesn't kill me because he didn't go back to the Braves.
What's your level of frustration 1 to 10 that they didn't sign him? Knowing what he got.
4.
Okay.
4. So I'm not like angry about it, but they deserve benefit of the doubt, obviously.
Agreed.
They pull
I'm
things
a
together.
5. I can't go above that because, as you said, they have, more than anything else, by winning the World Series last year, there's just not a lot of frustration for me to go around.
Sure, yeah.
I feel pretty good still. But you do have a couple more bites at this apple before it could be a little while, and I'd like to do everything I can to knock this door down again. Are you guys upset that the Nationals didn't land Josh Donaldson now that we know that he only got $92 million over 4 years when the Nats actually offered more than that reportedly with some deferments? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Are you concerned at all about their offense? Will they hit, will they score enough losing Rendon and not replacing him with a big-time bat? You can tweet us if not calling at 800-636-1067. The question we're asking you is, with Josh Donaldson having signed with the Twins, the Nats look to be moving forward without adding any premium bats this offseason after losing Anthony Rendon. Are you okay with that? 800-636-1067. Tim says, I'm not upset with the Nats that they didn't land Donaldson. I think the deferment thing is annoying and the learner should have sucked it up to keep Rendon. He's irreplaceable. That being said, I hope for Kieboom or would trade for Kyle Seager. I'd love to trade for Kyle Seager, Corey's brother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's happening. Hope that it does. Kieboom is my hope here. That I still believe he's a first-round talent who was great in the minors last year, hit for a ton of power at AAA. I think he's going to have a better offensive season than people think, and he could be a savior, but that's a lot of pressure on a guy in a couple weeks' worth of baseball that really struggled last year. The one thing he points out here, though, is he says they should have sucked it up to keep Rendon. All I can do is keep saying this. I don't really think toward the end they had much of a choice.
I think they put themselves there.
Probably, but Rendon didn't do a whole lot to stay here. He wasn't that interested. He got the offer from the Angels, 7-245. He didn't call the Nats to give him a chance to match that offer. He made a few comments in his introductory press conference with the Angels about his wife and his kid and that the Angels will take care of them. He was really upset with some of the travel arrangements, I was told, in October during the playoffs. He was bothered about his pregnant wife having to travel the way that she was on a commercial flight or something like that. I mean, he was frustrated toward the end. So I don't crush the Nats that, you know, with this idea of the learner should have sucked it up and kept him. They should have done more to keep him 2 years ago, a year ago, before the season.
During the season, even for me?
Perhaps. I don't think that would have mattered. I don't think there was a number. He said when he was on the show, I asked him, is there a number if they offer it that you'll accept with no deferments? And he said, yes. I don't believe that at that point. Maybe, but I'm not going to keep legislating that. He's an Angel now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to move forward and figure out how to replace him. And they didn't go out and get a bat. I thought they should have. I wanted one. I think it's important for Soto and for their offense not regressing substantially. You lose Harper last year, it's okay. you got a great outfield. You lose Rendon this year, those two bats over two seasons, there's nobody, assuming Keboom is not, again, some 25-homer rookie of the year candidate this year, that just steps up and fills in right where he left off, which is unrealistic as an expectation to put on the kid who was the first-round pick out of Georgia high school. But they weren't waiting around for Donaldson, Danny. $25 million was sunk into Will Harris at $8 million, Starlin Castro at $6 million, Hudson at $5.5 million, Eric Thames at $3 million, as Drubal Cabrera at $2.5 million. You add all that up, it's about $5 million more a year maybe than you would have had to pay Josh Donaldson, or right around what you would have paid Josh Donaldson. So they got a bunch of players at a bunch of positions rather than a big-time bat.
To me, this was, and I understand, I mean, you cornered the market last year on the veteran that nobody wanted, right, where you didn't have to pay that much and you got great production. You kind of cobbled together Voltrons. Like, your first base position usually is a first baseman that hits you X number of homers, drives an X number of runs. Well, they combined it. They made two guys sort of do that, or three guys, or four guys at times. Then it was second base, and now they're going to try to do that with third base too. I think they got away with it last year, and it's not to dismiss what happened and what they did, but that's a tough recipe to do year in and year out, is to make, well, my third baseman isn't one guy, it's three guys, and we'll see. A bunch of part-time players does not an everyday guy make.
G on Twitter says he'll be 38 at the end of his contract. It's tough that you didn't sign him, but it's a good choice. James says pitching is the thing to err on the side of deferred money and nine-figure offer to him, or he turned down more here. He's okay because they upgraded their bullpen, it sounds like. Tom's in Manassas on Grant and Danny. No Josh Donaldson, no big bat. As of right now, perhaps, as of a month from now in pitchers and catchers report, how do you feel about it?
I love the show as always. Yeah, my frustration level is at an 8 or a 9. If I'm Juan Soto, I want out as soon as possible. I root for this team, and I'm happy for this team despite this ownership group. There's just absolutely no flexibility to me in their contract negotiations. If I was Rendon, I wouldn't have went back to them with the Angels offer either. But, so you can sit around and talk about deferred payments and this and that. And
right.
Make a splash. Go for it, man. This is a window. Go, you got it. Go for it. You know, and that's frustrating, especially from billionaires. Billionaires. They're businessmen who happen to own a baseball team, and that's why I'm so frustrated.
Thanks, Tom. You mentioned Soto leaving when he can. He can't until 2025. I mean, he's not even ARB eligible until 2022. But I would bet just about everything I own that he won't be here in 2026.
Yeah, I got the sentiment. I mean, I know what he means. It's just that, like, you're going to leave me out to dry like this? And if I was a vet on this club, if I'm Scherzer, knowing, and if I'm Strasburg, I came back to try to win another one of these World Series. Man, it just seems like,
yeah,
is that a priority upstairs?
You're Strasburg, because when he came on, part of it was he took the contract he did, supposedly, so that they could do other things. So that they could sign as Drubal Cabrera for $2.5 million.
Right.
That's why you did what you did. Don in Ashburn, how are you?
Hey, good morning, boys. It's a bit frustrating. I think that what people forget, you know, I think they did a pretty decent job of piecing together some guys that can get somewhat of the production back, but you don't have that impact that Rendon had on the lineup and the guys that batted ahead of him and how they benefited from batting ahead of him. And that's what they didn't replace. And I think they're going to hurt because of that. But I'm hopeful that the improvements in the bullpen hopefully will offset a little bit more of that as well. So we'll see, but it's frustrating. They really should have gone after Donaldson harder, in my opinion.
Yeah. I worry for Soto in a regression more than anything else at this point. And I just think he's such a key to this whole thing. As of right now, as Drubal Cabrera is your starting third baseman, Starlin Castro is your starting second baseman. And I say as of right now, but it's January 15th, and they've spent their money, it seems like.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the group on opening day. Nick in Ashburn, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys. I'm not as frustrated as I would have been, let's say, if they had lost the wild card or lost to the Dodgers. But I am very frustrated that they didn't replace that bat. I mean, I think it's difficult to replace Rendon, and I'm not saying that Donaldson would have been the equivalent of Rendon, but man, it's an awful stretch to think that we have to rely on Keboom stepping up as a rookie or Robles becoming, you know, more than he has been. I'm frustrated. I think they're gonna suffer. I hope they don't, but I think their offense is gonna suffer.
Or as Drubal Cabrera duplicating his second half after they brought him in last year. Which is borderline impossible when he drove in 40 runs in 38 games. I'll eat your jacket if he drives in 40 in the first 38 games.
Yeah, if he's on 160 RBI pace. I mean, it's you don't want to be the in that kind of marketplace. I understand not wanting to overpay for Donaldson simply because he's the best of what was available. It was a really shallow market. If like five of us are fighting over one piece of fruit, we're going to pay more for that piece of fruit. I wanted to go to a different buffet. I wanted to go the route of like a Nick Castellanos or a trade market like you talked about and start making some of these dominoes fit elsewhere. Not to play third base, but to add the key to me is a right-handed bat behind or in front of Juan Soto. That's the most important thing to me. They don't have that. I mean, it's basically like Howie Kendrick 100 times this year they're going to do that. He can't play every day. That to me is kind of a miss unless something else is going to happen.
They better pitch really, really well.
Yeah.
And they got a chance.
They're set
to.
Up to.
You need Max to make 34 starts again and not have two DL stints. You need Steven Strasburg to be durable for basically the second straight year and the third time ever in his career. I mean, last year was not the norm for him. Normally, you count on him being out and missing several starts as well. You need Joe Ross, Eric Fetty, Austin Voth, whoever wins that fifth job, to be great. And you need, or just serviceable, really. You need Anibal Sanchez in his late 30s not to take a step back. And you need your bullpen after bringing in Will Harris, who's older, and Daniel Hudson, who's had a couple Tommy John surgeries, to both have good seasons with Sean Doolittle. If all those things happen and you pitch your butt off, then maybe not being as good offensively won't crush you. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the fan. Mike Jones of USA Today Sports will join us at 11 for a first glimpse at the AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday. But speaking of the NFL next, a stunning retirement. One of the great linebackers in football over the last several years, saying goodbye at just 28 years old. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
It's a tough decision. I've thought about it a lot, and I think now is the right chance for me to move on.
Luke Kuechly stunning the NFL world last night with an emotional video he posted via the Panthers and the Carolina Panthers digital and web team announcing his retirement. And that was a snippet from what was about a 3 minute and 45 second video that he posted. Now, he never uses the word concussions. He never talks even about injuries. He never says, this is mm-hmm. for my body. He was very careful, I thought. And if you're the NFL, you kind of watch that cringing and you kind of wipe
your brow
after. Yeah. Because he never said, he's 28 years old, prime of his career, I can't keep doing this to my body. I want to be able to play with my kids when I'm older. There was nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
He basically, if you didn't know his backstory, if he had a clean bill of health over all these years, you'd just say, man, this guy's going out on his own terms. We know that he's had three concussions. We saw him bawling.
That's the one I'll never get over.
I'm with you. I won't unsee. It was either a Monday night or a Sunday night game, but it was a nationally televised game where he got hit and was out cold on the field and came to and was then carted off the field with what was, I don't know if it was his second or his third concussion of his career at the time. He's had three supposedly that are reported. But, I mean, he had tears just uncontrollably streaming from his face, and he looked petrified.
It was – I'm not trivializing this. I'm trying to draw a comp. I hit a deer with my car late at night coming home when I was a teenager. The look on the deer's face of pure terror, and you're panicked, you're scared, you're confused. That's what that look reminded me of, as tears are streaming from his eyes. That face and that look and that moment is something I will never unsee.
But it's not surprising to me that it was that guy with that fear after that concussion who's decided he's walking away from the game at 28 because he is obviously hyper aware of how he's feeling, how he's thinking, his mind. He knew in that moment, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
This is a serious, bad concussion. Who knows? Do I know where I am? Do I remember things I'm supposed to remember? Who knows what he was thinking at that time? But he played 8 seasons, and the amount of support he got from players and coaches in the league last night was astounding. Each one of them, many having played with him, calling him the best teammate they've ever had. Those that played against him, saying he's one of the best opponents they've ever played against. Almost all of them calling for him to make the Hall of Fame. He will make the Hall of Fame for two reasons. One, if you play 9 games in the NFL, you ultimately get into the Hall of Fame. It's the biggest Hall of Fame ever.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Second, though, he is actually ultra-deserving. Like, if it were a real Hall of Fame where only Hall of Famers got in, like my small Hall of Fame, even though he only played 8 years, he would absolutely be in the conversation. He was the Rookie of the Year in 2012 with 164 tackles. He made 150 the next 2 years. Then he missed a total of 9 games over 2 seasons. Still in those 2 years, averaged about 115 tackles. The last 3 years, he's only missed one game. He's made 125, 130, and 144 stops. In addition to just being a human wrecking ball, making every tackle, he's always been right around, you know, 2-3 sacks a year as a blitzer. He breaks up a ton of passes, one of the hardest guys to throw against at this position, you know, 10 to 12 pass breakups. He's intercepted 18 passes in his career, three different times, had at least three picks. This is a guy who scores touchdowns and forces fumbles.
Plays get made, man.
He was Ray Lewis-like at times. I mean, this is one of the best linebackers I've seen. Came from Boston College. I've always been a huge Luke Kuechly guy, but I'm really, really happy for him. But that was sad to watch last night. He said a couple times in that speech, in his video, he does not want to retire. He has to retire, but he doesn't want to. In fact, give me the cut, Thom, where it says, gets emotional, wants to play. This cut to the core of me. This is the equivalent of, if you and I loved this job, and we're getting paid well to do this job, and the Entercom company wants to keep allowing us to do it. But for some reason, let's say that there's a fear that, like, the microphones ultimately give you cancer.
Or, like, my voice box is like, I got 100 words left in my life, you know, and I can't do it.
But let's, yeah, and my comp I would use is, let's say we found out that talking into these microphones meant eventually, like, you'll get some type of cancer. You mm-hmm. may not, but you could. And it could affect how you live and how long you live and how healthy you are. It's a decision you've got to start making. Where right now, I'm on top of my game, and I'm making my money, and I'm doing what I love, and I've got a cool job. Or I got to think about the future. Just listen to the pain in his voice last night.
For me, now is the right opportunity to move in a different direction. And, you know, there's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. And that's the part that is the most difficult is... I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision.
I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. Never saying concussions.
Right.
I thought that was very pro-NFL, very nice of him to do it that way. But we know why he's retiring. Kuechly, by the way, 28. Last year it was Gronk at 29. Andrew Luck this season at 29.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Chancellor. Now, that was different. I'll file him into a different category because he had a debilitating, I think, back or neck injury that I don't know if he could have played again. Calvin Johnson, though, could have kept playing. 30. Remember Chris Borland, another linebacker who had a massive start to his career for the 49ers.
Yeah.
Stepped away after one or two seasons. This is not just something that occasionally happens. This is now a trend. At least once a year, every couple of years, 30 or younger, one of the better players in the league is retiring still healthy.
Five-time first-team All-Pro. Five-time. In 8 years. The other year is basically injury, and he may make it this year. Honestly. So it could be six.
Honestly, he probably could have done that another three or four times.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you'd think. I mean, usually what happens, there's no usual when you talk about someone's career, but I would say the more atypical, the mean, is a player gets hurt a bunch, and they go, I just don't love rehab. I don't love what it takes for me to get ready. Right? I mean, the love of the game may still be there. I love going out on Sundays and playing or going out, you know, and hitting the baseball or shooting basketball. But it's like coming back from an injury, the work that it takes to be able to go take the withdrawals when you're on the field just becomes tedious and it becomes cumbersome and you don't love that anymore. That doesn't sound like the case here. This just sounds like a guy that's like, I wish I could still do this. I just physically can't.
What was your reaction when you saw the video? We can get into that next. 800-636-1067. But there's a bigger story here than just Luke Kuechly. As stunning as this was, should the NFL be concerned? This is not a couple of times now. Trend is a word you could use. Movement. I mean, it's happening more and more and more. This, to me, is different. This is more Borland, less Gronk, whose body is just broken down, right? This is less Cam Chancellor. This is more maybe Doug Baldwin. This is a guy just saying, I don't need to do this. I like doing it, but I made my money, and I'm getting out. Players know more now than they ever did before. They're smarter now about the ramifications long-term of playing this game. How alarmed would you be if you work in the NFL offices about what happened last night? 800-636-1067 is the number for Grant and Danny on the Fan.
makes me sad because I love playing this game. I've played it since I was a little kid, and it's my favorite thing in the world to do. And the memories I have from this place and this organization and playing on the field with these guys, they'll never go away. And I'm sitting right now in the linebacker room, and the amount of memories I've had from this room alone could fill a book. And these are the best times of playing. Obviously, on the field is awesome, but some of the best times of playing this game are behind the scenes in the locker rooms, in these meeting rooms, on the buses, traveling the games. You can't replicate that anywhere else, and that's why this is so hard to do, to move on in a different direction. But in my heart, I know it's the right thing to do, and it's hard, but that's why you play this game to form relationships, and if you formed strong relationships, they never go away.
There's no doubt he formed strong relationships. Just look at the social media timelines last night. Players who played with and against him jumping at the opportunity to tell you how great he was. And I mean the best in the game. From Michael Thomas to the elite quarterbacks in this sport to other great linebackers. You know, one player after another saying he was the best player they'd ever played with or against. Many guys talking about what an unbelievable teammate he was. You know how sometimes you can tell from afar when a guy's just a great dude?
Seems like it, right?
I'll give you an example. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is an unbelievable human being. Never met Juju Smith-Schuster one time. I see all the little things he does with fans and with kids, and I see how he acts and how he was one of the first people to kind of speak truth to power, if that's the right phrase, against Antonio Brown. And not like game respect game, he's a baller though, but actually say, you're an idiot. You're a fool. I'm not going to follow in your footsteps, you clown. I was raised better than that, you idiot. Go ruin your own career and your life. I'm going to do my own thing. I really, really, really like Juju Smith-Schuster. I think he's a pro. He's an adult, even though he was the youngest guy in the league at this time. Like, he is the kind of guy you buy that jersey, you put that poster on the wall. He is the anti-Antonio Brown in so many ways.
Yeah, like, I love Larry Fitzgerald. I haven't had a single interaction with that guy.
Another great example.
I love him.
Larry Fitzgerald. You could just tell. Salt of the earth human being. I've always gotten that vibe about Luke Kuechly. Always. You cannot find people with a negative word to say about him. And when this came out last night, this wasn't your normal, like, oh, miss you, man. Peace, bro. It was, I mean, Jonathan Stewart, who hadn't played with him in years, had, like, one of the more touching things I saw. It was crazy to see people talking about how much they love this guy. Sad that he leaves the game. After just 8 seasons, 7 Pro Bowls, as you said, an All-Pro more often than he wasn't, 2 years away from 30. But if I'm the NFL, I shouldn't be shocked. You know, we're all stunned when we see the video. This is happening regularly. Andrew Luck just did this. We were all shocked by that. If you notice, even though we're still stunned and taken aback, we're being stunned and taken aback more and more than we used to. Rob Gronkowski, a little bit different because of all the injuries. Some of these guys, like people are mentioning Navarro Bowman. Navarro Bowman, I hope he's walking around good right now. I got to imagine that guy's like hobbling in and out of the gas station. I mean, he got injured so much during his career. Patrick Willis, sub 30, linebacker, retired. Our buddy Guylo on Twitter says, the thing that should alarm the league is that these are not 9-to-5 ham and eggers. These are all pro superstars. Now they will get they're going to be hard to replace, basically. And he says, of course, because it's the nature of the league, but it's getting to be one star player per year. Mo on Twitter says, I think the new reality is 6 to 8 year careers. Pros are going to have one big payday for a 4 year prime window. I could see that. You know, it used to be if you were around for a long time, you're Daryl Green, 20 years at corner, or you're like a 14, 15 year player in the trenches at line or linebacker. You know, maybe that becomes 8 or 9 now. You're getting paid more money. You never have to work a day in your life if you're Luke Kuechly. If you're Luke Kuechly, you could be a broadcaster, honestly, do whatever you want. I mean, you could run any business. Doesn't have to be anything to do with football. But maybe that's what it is, Danny. Maybe it's you get a couple of paydays, you play 7, 8 seasons, you make tens of millions, and you wave goodbye.
That's certainly a potential model. I might have a bit of a hot take on this one. I'm worried that my take is about to scald. I don't think the NFL needs to be worried about this.
Really?
I think the NFL is worried about lawsuits. I think they're worried about not doing enough in terms of prevention. They're worried about paying cash that has nothing to do with their product. Upcoming, you're going to have a combine. You're going to have a Senior Bowl. You're going to have thousands of people desperate to gain entry into this league.
How many are Luke Kuechly?
Not that many. The league goes on. Barry Sanders retired early, and the league revenue went up. Calvin Johnson retired early, and the league's still making billions. People are still going to play fantasy football. They're still going to tune in.
Is there a line of demarcation, though, when in a year it's not just one Barry Sanders, you know, because we still talk about that because it was so crazy at the time. But it's Luck and it's Kuechly and it's Gronk within a calendar year. That, next year, if it's
damaging.
I don't even want to pick names. But
no,
my
but
point
I what you're
is,
saying. Yeah.
At some point when these are stars doing this, that will affect you.
It might, but I don't think we're near that point yet. I mean, again, you're still talking about of the 50 most watched television shows, I think it was like 39 of them were the NFL this year. And the numbers are going to continue to kill. People are still going to be interested in the league. I understand your point that it's not as good. It's not as fun if you're a Carolina Panthers fan to tune in this coming season. You don't have Luke Kuechly anymore. But I don't know that the league is going to be hurt by this until you get to a point where that this really is the normal career.
So that's an interesting word. And I'm glad you say that. You say hurt or will the league be affected? The league's not going to lose money. You talked about revenue going up. That's happening no matter what. I think this train is being driven by Denzel Washington on a track, and it's about to derail in Pennsylvania somewhere. This is unstoppable. This league is not going anywhere. I guess I'm talking more just from this standpoint of, at what point does that trickle down to maybe I'll choose baseball over football for Kyler Murray? Or as more of these guys retire and there's more and more awareness on the head trauma and the injuries, forget the concussions for a second, which is the biggest deal.
Right, right.
But even just like being able to walk around and play with your kids, guys choosing other sports or maybe deciding that they're not going to play football at 10. And the guy that maybe 15 years ago would have been the best player in the NFL ends up being the best NBA player or something like that.
No, I understand your point. And the youth participation numbers for football are down in that regard, especially at young ages. But you still have, whatever it was, 40 million people watching Clemson and LSU the other night. You still got how enormous college football is. And it's still, well, this is what my neighbor's doing, this is what this guy's doing, and there's still that pipeline to the NFL. I think we are a long, long way away from the best athletes not choosing football, right? I mean, it has to become an epidemic where you don't have the replenishing players anymore. I mean, again, it's not better next year because there's no Luke Kuechly. Nobody's arguing that. I'm saying we've got to get to the point where they can't field enough teams of athletes.
I'm not saying we're anywhere near it. I'm just saying it starts somewhere, and it started. We used to say, like, is this going to happen? It's happening. So we could say it's a glacial pace or, you know, oh, there's enough ice. It's okay that a little bit's melting. Some's melting. I mean, at what point does more melt is all I'm saying. We can acknowledge that this is happening. This is players year in, year out doing this now regularly. We could be like, it'll be fine. There's nothing really to talk about here.
It's over the last 5 months. You touched on it. Gronk, Luck, Kuechly. These are three Hall of Fame caliber players.
Best tight end in the league, Hall of Famer. Best linebacker in the league, Hall of Famer. And one of the highest regarded quarterbacks for the next 10 years in the league who probably would have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
All leaving in prime of their careers. Mike Jones of USA Today joins us next. First look at the AFC and NFC championship games. We can ask him about Luke Kuechly as well. Plus, the Redskins have formally announced their entire coaching staff. Is there any surprises on that list? Next on Grant and Dan, they're on the bench.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.